When a trauma occurs, where can those affected receive emotional and practical support right after the crisis? Good Saturday to you, family radio friends. I'm Jenny Burkheiser, with you this weekend on the For the Record, along with the Director of Marketing and Communications for Trauma Intervention Program of San Diego County, California, Rosanna Corral. Rosanna's here to talk with us about how volunteers in her area and across the nation are responding to help victims in emergency situations, as well as how you could possibly be a part of the emotional first aid. Welcome to For the Record, Rosanna. It's nice to have you today.
Thank you so much, Jenny. It's great to be on the air. Thank you for having us.
Oh, yes. And Rosanna, I looked up the definition for trauma, and one of the definitions was a deeply distressing or disturbing experience. You know, there's many ways that people, families, kids, older adults are experiencing trauma. Rosanna, how would you describe trauma? What comes to your mind?
You know, trauma is not discriminatory towards anyone or anything. Trauma happens at a moment's notice. And it really can be a range of feelings. It can be, you know, just stress because, you know, you forgot your keys this morning or you locked your keys in the car. That, you know, that could be a trauma. And then there's the larger traumas of, you know, seeing a shooting or seeing a loved one, you know, die right in front of you. Trauma has a range of emotions, and it really can be anything.
Now, Rosanna, you're involved with Trauma Intervention Program of San Diego County in California, but this program is actually national in scope, and many of our listeners would possibly have a connection locally with it. But tell us, what is the Trauma Intervention Program, otherwise known as TIP?
Yes, TIP is a volunteer-based program. It was developed to provide support and assistance to those traumatically affected in emergency situations. You know, when a trauma occurs, emergency responders will actually request a TIP volunteer to be with the survivors. So we're actually a part of that emergency response system, and volunteers will actually provide the much needed emotional and practical support immediately following the crisis. Our citizen volunteers will provide emotional first aid to survivors of tragedy, and in order to ease their immediate suffering and facilitate their healing and long-term recovery. You know, our slogan is citizens helping citizens in crisis, and that's what we are. We're a volunteer-based organization, citizens in your community, that are helping other citizens in their time of need and possibly the worst days of their life.
Now, TIP was founded back in the 80s. Rosanna, can you give us any background on how TIP got started? Maybe there was a story behind why this program came to be.
TIP was started in 1985 by a man named Wayne Fortin. He is our founder. He partnered with the Oceanside Police Department because there was a need of individuals who were getting a second injury that were on these traumatic scenes from actually emergency responders because they felt that they weren't getting the service that they needed. And our emergency responders, they are amazing individuals. You know, they go out and they're there to help our community, but there are certain things that they don't necessarily have the ability to do as far as time-wise. And one of those things is to be an emotional support to individuals who've gone through that tragedy, not because they're not willing or want to, it's because they are busy doing their job and keeping us safe and, you know, saving individuals. So that's when Wayne Fortin found TIP and saw the need and said, you know what, we're going to have volunteers go out with our emergency responders and be that emotional and immediate practical support for people going through this tragedy to help relieve the emergency responder so they are taken care of as far as being able to do their job and the citizens are taken care of as far as their emotional needs. So that's how the program came about.
Right. Well, you definitely want to avoid what you called second injuries, those emotional injuries of a victim's perspective that the emergency system didn't provide the support they needed after the tragic event. And you mentioned about emotional first aid. How is that a part of the services that TIP provides?
So the emotional first aid that our volunteers are trained is basically skills on what to say and what not to say when you're on scene with these survivors. Sometimes learning what not to say actually is better than knowing, you know, what to say, because some of the things can actually cause more emotional injury. So we actually train our volunteers to do the, you know, some basic emotional first aid to go on and just be a, you know, a silent presence or a calming presence on scene and just be there for these individuals. So all of our volunteers learn these skills during our intense training that we give them.
As I was preparing for our interview, I looked up your website, tipnational.org, and it had a little more information about this emotional first aid. And just one of the, you know, comments, the advice on there regarding what's proper or not is you shouldn't say it's going to be okay, because that actually minimizes the trauma this person has experienced. So it's very special training that your volunteers have to go through, right?
Yes, yes. Our training is actually very intense. It's about a 2-week training that the volunteers go through, and they are taught our emotional first aids, what to say, what not to say, and it's just to help them, you know, be there for the individual.
Right. You said earlier that your slogan is citizens helping citizens in crisis. You started in San Diego County in 1985, but the program has expanded. Give us an idea of the scope of how many states now have a TIP program.
We have about 15 affiliates throughout about 9 different states.
Wow.
Throughout the U.S. We have, you know, a couple here in California, California, so large and long, mm-hmm. You know, all the way from, you know, Nevada, Arizona, all the way to the East Coast in Florida, and all the way up to Maine. We have them all throughout the U.S. And we're always looking, you know, well, TIP National is always looking to open up a new affiliate if the need is there.
Okay. Do you have any idea of how many volunteers are out there providing this emotional first aid in these crisis situations on a nationwide basis?
No, that's a great question. I don't know per affiliate. I can tell you about San Diego. We have about 100 volunteers. Our volunteers, we've had volunteers that have been with us for over 16 years. And depending on the chapters, some chapters are larger, smaller, so they can really range anywhere between, you know, 50 and 100 per affiliate.
Mm. Well, there's many different degrees of trauma, as you said earlier, from stress to something, you know, very life-threatening. Who determines when TIP is needed on a scene or in a situation, Rosanna?
Well, TIP works closely with our partnering agencies. These are, you know, law enforcement agencies, fire departments, hospital personnel. They're the ones that call us, the TIP volunteers, and will request someone to come out and be with the survivors. So with the partnership that we've had with these agencies, TIP is able to provide a different dynamic to the emergency response system to meet the emotional needs of the surviving victims. So they're the ones that, like I said, will call us out, and we will be guests on their scene, and we will just, you know, be there for the survivors while they're possibly, you know, doing their reports or doing an ongoing investigation. So we're actually a part of that emergency response system, just doing something else to allow the emergency responders to do what they need to do in their jobs, whether it's to also to leave the scene if they need to go to a different scene, and just be there and concentrate on the survivors.
What types of situations are TIP volunteers called to, Rosanna?
We get called to so many different calls. It really does range. We have gone on, you know, school shootings. We've gone on robberies, deaths, family deaths, elderly deaths. We've had SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. Mm-hmm. We've gone on suicides. car accidents, train accidents. I mean, the list goes on and on. Like I said before, trauma doesn't discriminate. It can happen at any moment, known as anywhere. So if there's a need for TIP, we will be there.
Well, these are very serious situations, as you said earlier. What does a TIP volunteer do? I know you said they're a presence there at the scene, but is there any sort of, you know, expected routine or process that they're trained to expect to go through when they do get the call?
Well, every call is different, and our volunteers are trained to kind of evaluate the situation, and no one goes in with knowing this is what I'm going to do. Because you can't. Everyone, every individual grieves differently, and depending on the situation, may grieve differently based on the situation. We've had people who stay completely quiet and they don't want to talk. You know, we've had, you know, the grieving widow who cries all the time. You have the, you know, the person that wants to be busy, wants to get everything done. Everyone deals with trauma differently. So our volunteers are trained to just go on scene, evaluate the situation, go to the survivors, you know, talk with them, kind of walk them through to see, you know, what has happened, and decide from there what's the best steps to kind of help them start moving forward to the healing process. Now, for example, if it's a family death, the family may not know about the mortuaries or crematories, so they will go and, you know, give them some information, say, here are the mortuaries in the area. You know, you can pick one from this list, you know, or if, you know, it was a scene that was a little bit, you know, violent and there may be blood, you know, on the walls, and it could be a second injury to how the family cleaned it up themselves. Well, there's actually companies out there that will come to your home and clean all this for them, so they don't have to, you know, go through that and have to clean up, you know, their loved ones, you know, blood or, you know, something else that they may not want to do.
So we can just
help them, guide them. Guide them to just start the healing process and just the next couple steps, you know, to go forward. And it could be as simple as just being a silent presence and being there and just, you know, talking to the individuals. And, you know, if it's an elderly person, you know, we might check to say, hey, do you have any medications that you need to take? You know, and then it triggers something like, oh, yes, I do have, you know, my blood pressure to take. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, let's get you a glass of water so we can, you know, get that medicine in you. And it's just also help, you know, making sure that they are taken care of in this traumatic event, because you're not thinking properly. You know, you're somewhere else and you're processing everything that's happening. So our volunteers are kind of there to just help guide them in the right direction.
Well, it's really important work that you do through the Trauma Intervention Program of San Diego County, as well as nationwide. Rosanna, we may have some listeners that are just tuning in. They want to get plugged in right away to how they can learn more about the local TIP, Trauma Intervention Program, in their area. How can they learn more? Do you have contact information?
Yes, you can visit our website at www.tipsandiegospelledout.org. That's our personal affiliate website. You can call us directly at 855-847-7343. And if you're not in the San Diego area, you can actually visit our national website, which is www.tiptipnational.org.
Thank you, Rosanna. Today we're speaking with Rosanna Corral, Director of Marketing and Communications for the Trauma Intervention Program of San Diego County, California. If you'd like to learn more about your nearest Trauma Intervention Program or TIP, you can go to tipnational.org, that's tipnational.org, or if you'd like to access the San Diego chapter, go to tipsandiego.org, that's tipsandiego.org, or call 855-847-7343. Rosanna, These are very serious situations that a TIP comes into and helps to provide that emotional first aid, whether it's, you know, after a car accident, a fire, or any other emergency. I just can't imagine the way the victims are feeling or the survivors are feeling, you know, numb, dazed, unable to really think or understand what has happened. Just what sort of emotions, what's going through that victim or that survivor's mind after such a trauma?
We really don't know. We can't say what is the norm per se of how someone will deal with trauma. We've had people who stay completely quiet and they don't want to talk. You know, we've had the person who cries all the time. You have the, you know, the person that wants to be busy, wants to get everything done. Everyone deals with trauma differently. And for that individual, that's okay. That's normal for them. Any way of handling trauma is considered, quote unquote, normal, because that is how you process it as an individual. So our volunteers know how to notice what their normal is and kind of just help allow them to grieve that way. And to let them know that it's okay to feel how they're feeling and how to grieve how they're grieving.
Now, TIP, I understand, has gone above and beyond and done more than just be there as a caring presence. There are situations where your volunteers have even helped families plan funerals. Is that right?
Yes, we do have volunteers. Depending on the call, they will, you know, some people just don't know what to do when it comes to a death in the family. They just haven't thought about it. They haven't needed to think about it. And to be honest, why would you? It's not a very happy thing to think about.
Right.
So our volunteers will help individuals with, you know, telling them which mortuaries are in the area. And, you know, some individuals can't even make the phone call. So we'll kind of just help maybe the initial phone call to get the mortuary, you know, maybe to come possibly pick up the body, or schedule an appointment for the family to go in a later day to come pick out their choices. But our volunteers will help them in anything that is needed.
Rosanna, can you share some stories of how TIP made a difference helping a family or individual during that time of crisis, just to give our listeners a picture of, you know, the help that they do provide?
You know, there are so many different stories. I can go on and on with the stories of how our volunteers have helped individuals. But really, it's them just being there. The most common, you know, we do get feedback from the survivors that are, you know, later days we'll get letters or we'll get calls. And they may not remember the volunteer's name, but they know that someone from TIP was there to help them in the worst moments of their lives. And they will say thank you to those individuals. And, you know, thank you. They'll call them angels. Thank you to my angel who came and just was with me. And it's not necessarily one thing that they did. It could have been, you know, the planning of the funeral. It could be just getting them a glass of water. It could be keeping them, you know, away from the media and on a high-profile case. It's really just having the volunteer there and having almost like a safety net to, you know, to lean on, to be there for them when they may have not know what to do. So, I mean, as far as a story per se, you know, we've had, you know, volunteers who just are there just to talk to them. We had actually one gentleman, this one actually comes to my mind. He went onto a scene and the woman actually didn't know any English. And I believe she knew it was German. I believe it was German. And he came in, was unable to communicate with her. And all he did was sit there with her for a couple hours. And even he says that it was one of those moments where he just knows he didn't do anything. He just sat there, but he knows that he just being there with her made a difference for her at that moment. at that worst time of her life.
Rosanna, it's just incredible the sort of impact that this outreach can have on those facing very difficult circumstances. And volunteers are very special people, obviously. You mentioned that they are very intensively trained. We may have a listener who wants to be a part of this work. Specifically, do they have to go to San Diego County and get training? Or, what is the requirement for them to become a TIP volunteer?
Well, to become a TIP volunteer, you do have to go through our training academies, and those are about a two-week, 50-hour training academies. And you don't have to come all the way to San Diego if you're not in San Diego County, but you would just contact your local affiliate, and they it's the same training for all the affiliates. It's based off our national protocols and procedures, and you can just sign up for an academy there, and you could volunteer in your local neighborhood.
Is there always need for more volunteers with the TIP program?
Yes, there's always a need for volunteers. Just in San Diego alone, we've increased our call volume within the past 3 years. I believe it's been about 40% our call volume has gone up. So we always are looking for new volunteers to come in and help us with that high call volume. And we also have volunteers who, do leave us because, life happens or they get a new job, they move or for whatever reason. So we're always looking to, make sure that we have a good amount of volunteers willing to help our community.
Rosanna, you mentioned that TIP is all across the nation, whether on the East or the West Coast or in between. Are there certain areas, cities, states that are experiencing a lot of extra need for volunteers now that you'd like to tell us about?
I think it's for all affiliates. We're all looking for volunteers. I mean, there's never a time where we say, we have plenty of volunteers, we're good. That's never the case. We're always looking for, more people to want to help our community, want to make a difference. And all of our affiliates are always looking for individuals.
Now, your volunteers are on call. They're ready at a moment's notice because you can't plan for emergencies. Who are the volunteers? Why do they offer their time? Give us a picture of who these everyday heroes are.
These are people in our community, people that you see every day. You may not know them personally, but you see them. You see them at the grocery store. You see them walking around. They're just people in our community. They're career workers. They're stay-at-home parents, retired individuals, students, teachers, all different people from all different types of backgrounds who just want to make a difference in our community. And they are some of the most humble and accepting individuals I've ever met. These are people who give so much by volunteering, and they're still willing to give more. It's truly amazing to watch the individuals that come into this organization.
How often are your volunteers called to serve TIP? Do they have certain, on-call times?
Yes. So the way that TIP works is after you go through the training process and you get approved to be a TIP volunteer, you sign up for 3 12-hour shifts per month, and those are shifts that you choose, which is works in everybody's schedule. And we tell volunteers, live your life, do whatever you're going to do that day, clean the house, maybe watch a movie at home, just, be you at wherever. Just know that if your phone rings, there's someone in need, and you are asked to go out onto your call. So we've had, volunteers who, they're gardening in the backyard and they get the call and they say, okay, I'm on my way. They're ready to go at a moment's notice and be there for the individual in need. So it's 3 12-hour shifts a month that you choose. And the other thing that is required is you do go through a continual education meeting, which is about 3 hours once a month. The meeting just to kind of get you updated with and new procedures or protocols and keep you updated with some resources that you may need on your call. So that's what's required to be a TIP.
Now, Rosanna, we may have some listeners out there who want to be there for others facing these most difficult circumstances, but it's important that it's the right fit. Who would you say makes a good volunteer?
You know, definitely not everybody can be a volunteer. We understand that it's not for everybody. But if you feel like you have the calling, we say that if you have a good heart who has a passion for helping people, this organization may be good for you. It may be something that you want to do. You don't need to have certain skills. You get all the skills that you need during our training academy. So really, anyone who is willing and wants to come out and go through the training, they can be a TIP volunteer.
Why would someone give up maybe their weekend or their evenings to be a TIP volunteer? What sort of satisfaction does this give those who respond to those calls?
You know, I think with the reason why we have so many volunteers that have been with us for so long is because there's such a great satisfaction about going out and just helping someone that you know needs you. They may not know you, they may not remember you, but knowing that you can leave someone's life and know that you touched it in some way on the worst time of their life, that feeling that you get when you get home, you know you did well. You know, and our volunteers, we've had volunteers that have been with us for over 16 years, and it's definitely something that is very rewarding. You get more than you give. I really do believe that, and I think our volunteers know that.
Well, just anyone who has experienced a trauma and received that support, that emotional first aid in one way or the other, I could see how that might really spur them on to want to be there for others as well. So definitely a great opportunity for those who feel called to be a part of this, you know, this wonderful work that you do. We mentioned earlier, Rosanna, that Family Radio has stations throughout the nation. They could be on the East Coast or the West Coast or in between, but how can our listeners, wherever they're at, find out more about their nearest TIP or maybe even sign up to get that volunteer training to make a difference?
So you can just visit our website, TIP San Diego, at www.tipsandiego.org. You can call us directly at 855-847-7343. Or if you're not in San Diego County, you can visit our national website, which is tipnational.org.
Thank you so much, Rosanna, for sharing with us today on For the Record about the Trauma Intervention Program and ways that our listeners could even be a part of the vital, very important work that you do to serve those who are facing the most difficult of circumstances. Thank you again.
Thank you for having us. I really appreciate it.
Speaking with us today has been Rosanna Corral, Director of Marketing and Communications for the Trauma Intervention Program of San Diego County, California. She recommended that if you'd like to learn more about your nearest trauma intervention program or TIP, you can go to tipnational.org. That's tipnational.org. Or if you'd like to access the San Diego chapter, go to tipsandiego.org, that's tipsandiego.org, or call 855-847-7343. Please remember the views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of Family Radio staff or management. To learn more about Family Radio's commitment to serving the public, you can go to familyradio.org and access the public information tab or call our toll-free public information line at 1-800-543-1495. This again is Jenny Burkheiser. Stay tuned for more of your favorite Family Radio programming.